Now, when did you actually begin working with your father then?
I graduated from, I didn't do the accelerated 4-year plan. I was at Dartmouth, and they decided it'd be good that I grew up for a couple of years, and I went into the Army, spent 2 years in the Army, came back and graduated, went to New York and worked for about a year, and then moved to Australia and spent 6 years in Australia and came back in 1974, which was the first year of the oil embargo, which drove my father nuts because it was a tremendous amount of government paperwork. And that's when I came back, and the oil business to me was paperwork, because my first day, I got here in November, in December, and the embargo started in November. So I grew up in the oil business on that plane, and it was very difficult for my dad. Every customer we had to fill out a form saying we need so many gallons and allocation. Anyway, and that's when I got here in 74, and it wasn't that easy for my dad and I to work together because luckily I knew everything there was to know, and he wasn't so sure of that. But he gave me a tremendous amount of free rein and couldn't have been a better father to work for. And he also, I did the Stowe tennis tournament a couple of years later, and that took a lot of my time. Then after I did that, he became a selectman. That took a lot of his time. So we were pretty skilled at not being in the office together much. But he was great, a great dad to work for.
What do you know about, I mean, how old were you when you moved to town here?
I was 12.
You were 12. So what do you know about the condition of the company at the time that he bought it? Any major changes that he made to the way the company was run, or is there anything that he did initially?
The company, when father bought it, was a Gulf jobber, meaning Gulf owned the tanks, owned the product, owned everything, and they paid whatever the commission was per gallon. And my dad converted that into a distributorship, which means he owned everything and bought the oil and in turn resold it, which was a much more advantageous for him to put his efforts into it. Not that he didn't, but before that, but it was much more advantageous for him, that particular relationship. And he had a couple of drivers and a couple of people in the office, and as the town grew, the business grew. And I think when I got there, I was a little more, I pushed a little more. We got into the service business. I think when Dad bought the business, there were like five people working there. And when we sold it in 97, there were 55 people. So it grew from heating oil and gasoline. We got into the propane side of the business,
Service.
and the service side of the business. So, and we all, that all gradually developed. And I don't know, there were too many concrete dates. I mean, I remember we had two guys that wanted to increase their service business, and they came to Sweet and Bert and asked if we would have a relationship with them predominantly. Tom Payne of the Paynes, who owned the Christmas Tree Farm, and Charlie Leroux, who really tragically died when he was, boy, in his late 30s, but had a company called P&L Plumbing. And Sweet and Bert got behind them, and we ended up owning them because they were more plumbers than they were businessmen, and they got into understandable debt problems and stuff. And we ended up owning them and really converting that into part of Sweet and Bert. We got into an energy center that was a disaster back when we really should have been just selling fuel. It's hard sometimes to spread yourself to do things that you think are good, but you're not really either capable of or skilled at or whatever, maybe the same thing. But anyway, Sweet and Bert grew with the community, and we ended up having our own transports instead of whatever areas we could increase our ability to be a better company.
Did you expand your service area greatly over the years?
Not too well. Yes, we did. Yeah, because we bought companies in Hardwick. We bought a company in Hardwick, and we did. We did expand. Some of it intentional, some of it unintentional. You know, you get a phone call from somebody 50 miles away, they become your only customer in that area. That's probably a stretch, but 40 miles, 30 miles. And then you try and grow from there. But if you only have 2 trucks, it's almost impossible. If you have 10 trucks, it becomes easier to do. So
where was the central office in the early days?
Morrisville.
In Morrisville. It always was in Morrisville.
It moved 100 feet in the time. And then Howard Menashe was another, not so much a Stowe, but certainly a huge Morrisville personality, businessman, built us a new building. And that's when we moved away from where the Union Bank is in that lot to out to next to Howard's. Howard had a piece of land and he built his building there. So
still there today.
That's where Sweet and Bert was sold originally to Ultramar, which is a division of Diamond Shamrock, and then it went through a few trades, and now it's owned by Pyrofax.
So.